upon opening her mouth, took certain measures for concealing her teeth. Other memories of medical examinations and of little secrets which are discovered by them unpleasantly for both examiner and examined connect themselves with this case. She does not need them anyway is at first perhaps a compliment for Irma, but I suspect a different meaning. In careful analysis one feels whether or not the background thoughts which are to be expected have been exhausted. The way in which Irma stands at the window suddenly reminds me of another experience. Irma possesses an intimate woman friend, of whom I think very highly. One evening, on paying her a visit, I found her in the position at the window reproduced in the dream, and her physician, the same Dr. M., declared that she had a diphtheritic membrane. The person of Dr. M. and the membrane return in the course of the dream. Now it occurs to me that during the last few months I have been given every reason to suppose that this lady is also hysterical. Yes, Irma herself has betrayed this to me. But what do I know about her condition? Only the one thing, that like Irma, she suffers from hysterical choking in dreams. Thus, in the dream, I have replaced my patient by her friend. Now I remember that I have often trifled with the expectation that this lady might likewise engage me to relieve her of her symptoms. But even at the time I thought it improbable, for she is of a very shy nature. She resists, as the dream shows. Another explanation might be that she does not need it. In fact, until now she has shown herself strong enough to master her condition without outside help. Now only a few features remain, which I can assign neither to Irma nor to her friend. Pale, bloated, false teeth. The false teeth lead me to the governess. I now feel inclined to be satisfied with bad teeth. Then another person, to whom these features may allude, occurs to me. She is not my patient, and I do not wish her to be my patient, for I have noticed that she is not at her ease with me, and I do not consider her a docile patient. She is generally pale, and once, when she had a particularly good spell, she was bloated. I have thus compared my patient Irma with two others who would likewise resist treatment. What can it mean that I have exchanged her for her friend in the dream? Perhaps that I wish to exchange her. Either the one arouses in me stronger sympathies, or I have a higher opinion of her intelligence, for I consider Irma foolish because she does not accept my solution. The other one would be more sensible, and would thus be more likely to yield. The mouth then really opens without difficulty. She would tell more than Irma. What I see in the throat, a white spot and scabby nostrils. The white spot recalls diphtheria, and thus Irma's friend, but besides this it recalls the grave illness of my eldest daughter 2 years before, and all the anxiety of that unfortunate time. The scab on the nostrils reminds me of a concern about my own health. At that time I often used cocaine in order to suppress annoying swellings in the nose, and had heard a few days before that a lady patient who did likewise had contracted an extensive necrosis of the nasal mucous membrane. The recommendation of cocaine, which I had made in 1885, had also brought grave reproaches upon me. A dear friend, already dead in 1895, had hastened his end through the misuse of this remedy. I quickly call Dr. M., who repeats the examination. This would simply correspond to the position which M. occupied among us. But the word quickly is striking enough to demand a special explanation. It reminds me of a sad medical experience. By the continued prescription of a remedy, sulfonal, which was still at that time considered harmless, I had once caused the severe intoxication of a woman patient, and I had turned in great haste to an older, more experienced colleague for assistance. The fact that I really had this case in mind is confirmed by an accessory circumstance. The patient, who succumbed to the intoxication, bore the same name as my eldest daughter. I had never thought of this until now. Now it seems to me almost like a retribution of fate, as though I ought to continue the replacement of the persons here in another sense. This Matilda for that Matilda, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It is as though I was seeking every opportunity to reproach myself with lack of medical conscientiousness. Dr. M. is pale, without a beard on his chin, and he limps. Of this so much is correct, that his unhealthy appearance often awakens the concern of his friends. The other two characteristics must belong to another person. A brother living abroad occurs to me, who wears his chin clean-shaven, and to whom, if I remember aright, M. of the dream on the whole bears some resemblance. About him the news arrived some days before but he was lame on account of an arthritic disease in the hip. There must be a reason why I fused the two persons into one in the dream. I remember that, in fact, I was on bad terms with both of them for similar reasons. Both of them had rejected a certain proposal which I had recently made to them. My friend Otto is now standing next to the sick woman, and my friend Leopold examines her and calls attention to a dullness on the left below. My friend Leopold is also a physician, a relative of Otto. Since the two practice the same specialty, fate has made them competitors, who are continually being compared with each other. Both of them assisted me for years, while I was still directing a public dispensary for nervous children. Scenes like the one reproduced in the dream have often taken place there. While I was debating with Otto about the diagnosis of a case, Leopold had examined the child anew and had made an unexpected contribution towards the decision. For there was a difference of character between the two similar to that between Inspector Brassig and his friend Charles. The one was distinguished for his brightness, the other was slow, thoughtful, but thorough. If I contrast Otto and the careful Leopold in the dream, I do it apparently in order to extol Leopold. It is a comparison similar to the one above between the disobedient patient Irma and her friend who is thought to be more sensible. I now become aware of one of the tracks along which the thought association of the dream progresses, from the sick child.